Daf is Daf Mem Beis. We got to the last two lines of Mem Aleph Amid Beis. The Gemara says, "Ahud Amar Lei Lechavre." One person said to the next, "Hav Li Shis Mea Zuzay Dimaskina Bach. Give me the 600 zuz that you owe me." So Amar Lei Velo Paraticha Mea Kavi Avsi. Did I not pay you back with Avsi? I think they're gall nuts or something. The Kaimu Bishisa Shisa. I paid you back in gall nuts. They had the value of 600 zuz. So I paid you back already. So Amar Lei, he says, "Lav." They were only worth 400, not 600. Yeah, I accepted the gold, but you miscalculated the value. So Asu Tre saw they two witnesses came, Bamu, and they said, "In Barba Arba Havukaimu." Yes, he paid back gold nuts, but it was only worth 400. He owes really four, as opposed to say four, and he owes two more. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rava Huchsakaf." From the guy's a liar. He claimed he paid off the amount, and he didn't. So Amar Rami Bar Chama, like we saw yesterday. Ha'amras kol milsa de la rami alea dinish lava daita. Something that a person doesn't really pay attention to so much, we don't expect them to remember all the details. Rashi explains three lines down here. De la rami alea dinish v'hai nami lo rami alea lo mar be'eza inyan param. The guy's not expected to remember how he paid, what he paid. Ela parasi mistama, he knew he paid back. Hilkach lo nizkar v'savar shekach hashar. He didn't remember what the market value was. V'lo huchza kafran. He's not called a kafran. The guy paid. He paid back in gall nuts. So he didn't remember the value what that day's price was. Uvenishba sheparam mikol makom. So he swore that he took. He paid back. So he's not called a huchza kafran. But Amar Le Rava. Rava says no. Susa detara midchar dechir inshi. People don't remember every single detail. But when you're giving something back and there's a certain market value, and when you're giving something as a payment, that's something that we expect you to remember, in which case he is considered huchsak kafram. The Rush learned from here that when a person pays back, he's not expected to remember like which types of dollar bills he gave and which types of coins he gave. He's expected to remember the market value. If he paid in commodities, he's expected to know the value on that day. But to know the details of which types of coins and dollars he used, that much he's not expected to remember.
According to Rabbi, he puts the cop in there for what?
He would have to pay the money or make a shua that he didn't pay.
Because Rabbi Mar Chaim is also saying he has to pay 200. He's saying that because it wasn't a lavadite day, so he didn't remember. But the Raidim, let's say he was worth 400, right? According to Rabbi Mar Chaim, he'd also only pay 200.
The point is maybe, so what they explain here is that according to Rami, if he says, "No, you're right, I actually didn't, but I paid you with another two from somewhere else," then he would still be considered believed if it's a good taina. But according to Rava, any other taina he makes of paying, he's not accepted anymore. Okay, the Gemara now says, "Hahu damrele lechaver." A guy says to someone else, "Havli mea zuzi demasikna bach. Give me the 100 zuz that you owe me." V'hashar, and he produces the shtar, the document that you borrowed money from me. Amrele praticha, I already paid up the money. So Amrele hanu sitrunu. This is a little confusing. This next sugi here. That sitra ninhu, which Rashi explains, sitra ninhu mitzad acher ha'isa chayvli. That was a different payment you owe me. I'm asking for payment A. What you pay me, that was for payment B. That's a whole other discussion. So Amar Rav Nachman isra shtara. The whole shtar is torn up. You don't have the right to say that it's another outstanding chiv. We throw out the shtar since he admitted he got paid, but he's saying he got paid for something else. Bring me proof that there's something else. So we tear up the shtar, or its shtar is ruined. We'll get to what exactly that means. Rapap amar lo itza shtara. The shtar is not thrown out, and we could still accept that shtar. It's a good tiny to say, sitra ninu, that was a different payment you paid me for. So there is a machlokas, what it means according to Rav Nachman, which he paskin like here, that isra shtara. Rashi says isra shtara means hol mod de shekiblam v'lav kol kimina lomar sitra ninu. Since he admitted I accepted money, but he said it's for a different type of outstanding payment, we don't accept him. So the shtar is ruined. What does that mean, the shtar is ruined? So look over at Tosfos. There are two days in Tosfos here. Isra shtara, miper shabeinu chanana v'rechein rabbeinu tam, ditzarech bal hashtar shivua shlo nifra. What it means is that if the bal hashtar who holds it now, he wants to accept payment, he would have to take a shvu that he had not been paid. But Tosos is all in the bottom. Now look at the last three lines of Tosos. He writes, Al kein nira debishtara reya lo mikre karinan le velo migva gavinan be. It sounds like from the first pshat in Tosos, we would actually tear up the shtar. The shtar is not believed at all, and in which case it's only we only believe him if there's a shvua. But the end Tosa says, no, we don't tear it up, we also don't use it to collect. It's just kind of stuck, it's in limbo. So what does it mean it's in limbo? What it means is that im tafas ein motzi miyado. The shahr is not good enough for us to proactively take something out of his possession, but at the same time, it's not bad, it's not that bad that we tear it up. So im tafas, then we leave things as status quo, ein motzi miyado, because we do rely on that shahr at least a little bit. Ramban has an interesting pshara. Ramban says the shtar is good enough that you could collect from him mibnei chorin, but you cannot collect from mishubadim. That's the chiddush of the Ramban. In the end of the day, we see that Rav Nachman says in such a case, if you say, oh, you pay me back for a different outstanding loan, we don't believe the guy, we tear up the shtar. But Papa says, no, we do believe the guy, and the shtar is actually still good, and you can collect now a second time from this outstanding chov. So the Gemara says, according to Rav Papa, why is it any different from the following case where a papa says the opposite shot? The Amar Le Lechavre, guy says to someone else, Hov li mea zuzi dimasik nebucha. Give me the 100 zuz that you have of mine. V'hashara, and here's the shtar. Amar Le, lav atura yahavli v'asis v'isafi amaschla v'kabla zuzich. Did you not give me the money in order to buy turi? Turi is oxen, to buy oxen, and to make parnasa, and we're going to split the profits. I mean, this is a regular business partnership where one guy had all the capital. And he gave Reuven, who had the capital, gave the money to Shimon, go out and buy some ox, sell them for profit, and we'll split the profit. So one guy was the managing partner, and one was the investing partner. So didn't we have such a deal? So the guy says, yeah, you gave me the money, but you remember I bought the oxen, and I sold them for profit. We split that, so I don't owe you any money anymore. So the Gemara says, Amrle, no, Hanu Sitru Ninu. That was a different money I gave. I gave you the money for the oxen as a different deal. I'm asking for the money I lent you, that straight loan that I gave you. Give me that money back. So same taina as before. So, but look what Rapapa says in this case. Earlier, Rapapa says, it's a good taina when you say, Sitra Ninu, that was a different loan. You still owe me money now. We trust the guy. But here, in this case, Rapapa says, Amr Rapapa, Isra Shara. Here he agrees that the guy can claim that was, rather he cannot claim it was a different loan. And if he does claim that was a different loan, we don't trust him. We tear up the shtar in this case. So what's the difference of these two different cases? So now the answer is not so clear, but we'll give it anyways. The Gemara says, Hasim over there, Kevan de Kamar Aturi Yehavli, Umitura Shaklis, Issa Shtara. Here, the one asking for the money, the Malva, who lent the money, admits that, yeah, I gave you money for buying the oxen and you sold it and gave me money. So now the fact that he acknowledges that initial case, it's hard for him to produce a whole nother outstanding case, so we don't trust him. But opposed to Hacha, this case, which is the original case we started with, Amar Sitra Ninu, there's never really an agreement, an acknowledgement from the Malva that this outstanding loan you pay me back for, which doesn't really make any sense because the fact that he says Sitra Ninu sounds like, yeah, you pay me back for a different loan. I am acknowledging that other loan, but this is a second loan. So somehow there's a more of an admission to the case of the shore, which gives him less nemanis to collect a second time, as opposed to the previous case where he simply says Sitra Ninu, there we do trust him that there were two outstanding chiyuvim. I read the article, I don't get it so clearly either there. There's a ritva here, the other rishonim. So we'll leave that at that very superficially. It certainly requires more understanding to appreciate this. In the end of the day, the Gemara wants to know, my havele, what's the bottom line? In a regular standard case where the guy says, yeah, you pay me back, but that was a different loan, this shtar is for another loan that you owe me. So do we say, Isra shtara? We don't trust the guy, we tear up the shtar, you can't say, Sitra Ninu? Or we hold like Rav Papa that we say, no, you could say such a claim, and this shtar is good enough to collect a second time now. My havile, what's the bottom line? Yeah.
I think the difference is that in the loan case, it's talking about two loans, which are like transactions. Here, he's talking about a purchase transaction, which it's different when you repay, when you give that money back as opposed to...
So he's saying the case of the ox are two different types of loans.
Different type of transaction.
And therefore...
So it's less likely that it would have been...
The two different scenarios.
Someone accepted that payment for something very dissimilar. Claiming it's now.
But in the first case, where there are two loans, why would the guy do a second loan from the guy, repeat the same type of loan?
So such that the payment, a loan repayment, is similar to a loan repayment for something else. As opposed, so it could have been confused. So you're paying for this loan or that loan. You wouldn't confuse the two.
Okay, very welcome.
It sounds like from the arts bill.
Okay, well, welcome back.
So why is it Itrishtara in the second case? Because Itrishtara, if it's dissimilar, I would say that in that case, it's not Itrishtara. What is it? What is that? What is the fact? What's it saying? The fact that it's dissimilar, what does that make it interesting?
Maybe it's opposite. Maybe the fact that they are, it's possible he can confuse the two since they're made the other way around. Since they're similar, then you could confuse the two, and it's possible that, yes, there were actual two shtaros, and you got confused between
who
the two.
Who confused it? The borrower.
The borrower.
Or the borrower.
But maybe the second case, since they're dissimilar, so then it's unlikely that he would confuse the two different cases. He could say, oh, it's such a ninu. No, what are you talking about? One's a loan, one's a transaction. So maybe, okay, fine. The Gemara says, in the end of the day, my havale, what's the bottom line here? The Gemara says, Rav Papi Amar lo itchashtara, Rav Sheshes Berei Durava, Idi Amar itchashtara. So that's the machlokas. Rav Papi thinks we say the shtara is not ruined. It's still a good shtara. You could collect the second time, the second loan. And Rav Sheshes says it's the shtara is thrown out the window. So Nuta, how do you paskin? The Hilchasa, itchashtara, that the shtara is ruined, and we don't trust the shtara. The Hani Mili, this is only true. If you paid in front of two edim, and you didn't remember that there was a shtar, if you paid within amongst each other, no one else is observing the payment, you could have said no one was there. I could have said, I know, never happened. No transaction ever happened. The Malva could also say that was for a different loan. The Rabbi Abbahu. So meaning normally the halacha is that you can't say sitin, you can't say shitra ninu. You can't say that, and if you do, we don't trust you. It's your shtar. We throw out the shtar. But if there were no edim present where you could deny ever receiving any payment, so then that gives you a koach to also claim sitra ninu, and you would be able to collect even from this shtar. Gemara now says, interesting case here. Hahu damar le lechaver. Guy says to his friend, I really trust you. Mehemnis li ko emas de amris li lo parano. I'm willing to trust you. Anytime you say I didn't pay you, I'll trust you and I'll pay you. Azil pare ba'apay sadi. He went ahead, paid in front of two edim, and then the guy claimed that you owe me money. So abai rava damri tavayu hahemne. So he has to pay a second time. Aren't the edim paying to say that you paid once? Still, the guy made a statement that anytime you tell me I didn't pay, I'll pay as many times as you want me to, even if there are edim. You need to pay a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time, as many times as he asks you. So the Gemara asks, Maski v'la Rav Papa, Nihi dehemne tve minafshe, tve misade mi mehemne? He believed him. I believe, the Lova says, I'm willing to believe the Malva more than myself. But am I willing to believe the Malva more than to edim? He didn't go that far. Edim are believed more than anyone else. I'm just saying, if it's me versus you, I trust you. I don't remember so much going on in my mind. But if they're edim, I'm not believing you more than edim, in which case you would not have to pay a second time. There is an interesting machlokas. Let's say there's an eid echad. What's not addressed is what if there's an eid echad? If an eid echad says, I saw that you paid, is that enough to believe him? I believe you more than me, but I don't believe you more than the eid echad. Or no, I believe you more than me and more than an eid echad. I just don't believe you more than to aid him. So the Ramban writes that he believes him more than to aid him, but not more than an eid echad. And the Malva would be able to take with the shvua if there's an eid echad that he owes him money. And the Rush thought, no, that he believes him even more than an eid echad. Fine. The Gemara now says, there's another interesting machlokas here. Actually, that's on the next piece here. The Gemara says, now, hahu damar le lechavre. Someone says to his friend, mehemnisli kibetrei, I trust you, like to aid him now, giving him more nemanis. Kol emas de amris lo parano, whenever the Malva says, you haven't paid me yet, I'll owe you money. Azil pare ba'ape tlasa. He now pays in front of three people. So three is better than two. So maybe this case, the three edim say, we saw him pay the money. The Malva's claiming a second time he's not able to pay. So what do you do about this case? Amara papa, kibay tre hemne, kibay tlasa lo hemne. I only believe him, the Malva, like two edim, but I don't believe him like three edim. So if I have three edim that witnessed me paying him the money, the Malva can never again claim for me a second time. But comes along Amalei Rav Huna, Bredi Rav Yeshua, Rav Papa, Emor de Amri Rabbanan, Dazlina Basar Rov Deos. Yeah, granted, we hold in general there's a concept of Rov Deos means on the quantity of people. But that's Hani Mili Linin Umdina, the Kamadin Aficha Bekia Tfe. When it comes to assessing a value of a property, let's say, property value is not based on Edus. The more professionals you have to get a greater accuracy, that's better. Or if you're trying to assess a person or a chola and assess his situation of whether you have to do pikuach nefesh and violate Shabbos or not, so the more days you have there, that's better. That's about evaluations. Avali inyan edus, the world of testimony, mea ketreu trei kamea. All we need is two. Two is as strong as 100. 100 is as strong as two. Two is all. Once you get two, there's no numbers beyond that. So in this case, two and three, three and two are the same exact thing. So once I said, I trust you like two people, that's like me saying I trust you like 100 people, and therefore, each time the Malva says, pay me money, even though they are Edom. The Gemara says, Lishna Achrina, there's another version of this Gemara here, Hahu Damar Leh Lechavre, a guy says to his friend, Mehemnis Li Kibetre, I trust you like two. Kol Emas Damris Lo Parana, whenever you tell me I didn't pay, I'll pay, I trust you like two Edom. Ozu Lo Pari Ba'apit Tlasi, paid in front of three Edom. Amar Papa. Like we saw above, I trust you like two, but I don't trust you like three. So if there are three Edom that witness my payment, I don't have to pay a second time. So Maskiv La Rav Huna Breid of Yeshua, Trey Kamea Mea Ketrei. What do you mean? Who cares? Two is like 100, 100 like a two. So who cares? Three, four, five, you trust the Mava like two. That's no one else could ever beat him. The Amarle Kibetlasa, though, however, if you say, did I skip a line here? No. The Amarle Kibetlasa, Viazil, Parabape Be Arba, Kevin de Nachas Ledeus, Nachas Ledeus. Meaning what? Let's say the scenario is I tell the guy I trust you like three people. Why are you saying three? Just say two. Two is as powerful as 100. Once you specify three, that means you dafka want him like three. You're putting a threshold on his ability to have nemanus. So once you do that, if you have four Edom, so then you could trust the four Edom. Since he's taking the avenue of numbers of three, we're concerned with Deos, and he can beat it out with more Edom than the value he gave the particular Malva. Now this whole discussion here, that allowing a person to have more nemanus than what the Torah gives a guy a nemanus as an aid, as a one person. To give the person the nemanus of two, so there's a huge discussion in the Achronim, the poskim, whether or not you have to make a kinyan at that time or not. The 3 days is found in the Shach. The Shach says that when it comes to the Rav Yehold, that nemanus, if you're giving the guy nemanus like two people, you don't need to have a kinyan. The whole idea of nemanus is, I'm mochel. Anything you say, I'm mochel. So if you tell me I owe you money, I trust you. That's mechila. Mechila doesn't require kinyan. Even though I'm giving you more nemanus than in general, you don't need any kinyanim. The Magna Mishnah argues. The Magna Mishnah says you always need a maisa kinyan to establish nemanus, even if it's a regular case of stam nemanus. If I say I trust you, not like two, just like I trust you, that requires a kinyan. And then the Rif says it depends. If I'm trusting you like regular nemanus of a person, that doesn't require a kinyan. But if I'm trusting you like more than one person, I'm trusting you like two or three, in that situation, it would require a kinyan. There's a large discussion in the Ketzos and the Sivas. This is a huge, huge sugya. Okay, the Gemara now says, there's also another discussion about whether or not the nemanus took place b'shas halva or after the fact. Rashi says here, the Bach is medayk from Rashi. If you look at Rashi around 15 narrow lines down, it says, Ahu lova da'amar lemalva b'fnei a'idim b'shas halva nemanat ha'alah, you trust him. So the medayk, dafka b'shas halva, do you not need a ma'isa kinin. But if you want to give the guy nemanus after the halva, sometimes during the term of the loan, then you would have to make a kinin, a ma'isa kinin, in order to create that nemanus. Okay, the Gemara now says, halfway down the wide lines, Ein nishban al tainus cheirishot v'katan bein mashminis akatan. The law is, you do not make a shvua based on a tainus, akatan's taina, and a katan can't make you, you can't make him make a shvua, he doesn't make you make a shvua. The Gemara says, my time, what's the reason? I'm a krok, ki yitain ish al elrei ehu, kesef okelim lishmor, a person gives you something to watch, vein nisinas katan klum, only yitain ish, if a person gives you something to watch, but an ish, but not a katan. So a katan, the nesin is not considered anything. And since the nesin is nothing, that means there's no need for a shvua ever. The Gemara then says in the Mishnah, even though it says you don't make a shvua and a katan, aval nishban lekatan ulehektesh. But then the Mishnah says you do make a shvua and a katan. So it's a stira. So the Gemara says, v'ha'amris reisha a nishban al tainis katan. We just said shotev a katan. We just said before there is no shvua based on a tainis katan. Now we're saying that there is. So amar of baba b'tainis Aviv, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Look at Rashi, two lines up from the bottom here. Bibba b'taynis aviv, hodikatani nishbain b'nesinas ish kamar, shakatan to'ana avi masru liyadcha. It's where the father did the nesina, if the katan gave you something to watch, so then that will never result in a shavuah. But let's say the father gave something to watch. Then the katan says, you owe my father that thing back. That will create a shavuah, since the nesina was done by an ish, by the father. And that's the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. He, the Tani, the Braisa says, that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Omer pamim sh'adam nishbal tainis atzmo. Sometimes a person will make a shvuah based on his own taina. Keita, what does that mean? Amr lo mana lavicha biyadi. The guy says, your father has money of your father's money is in my hand. Vechalted pras, I ate a little bit of it. Hareze nishwa. That's considered a nishba because he admitted to some of it. He was modeh on his own. No one ever made a taina. You never asked me for the money. I just said, I have your father's money. I ate some of it. That's modeh b'miktzas. Meaning I have some of it to give back to you, some of it I got rid of. And that's a case of harez and nishvah, that's a shvuah. Vizeo shenishbal tainas atzmo, that's a case where you make a shvuah based on your own taina. No one claimed from you, you were claiming from yourself. V'chachamim omrim eino elokimesh ravei del pater. That's not a taina. You would have never had any idea that your father had any possession any money in my possession. The fact that I'm letting you know, I'm being Meshur Aveda. That's how Shavas Aveda. It was completely lost from you. You had no idea. The very fact that I'm nice enough and doing a chesed to give something to you, you can't now turn around and say, well, wait a second. You said there were $100, and now there's only $80 left. That's Modi Mimikta, so you owe me a Shvuah. Says Chachamim, that's a Meshur Aveda. That's doing a nice deed, and there is no Shvuah in that case. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov lesle Meshur Aveda. Wait, hold on a second. How do we find that this is connecting to the katan case?
Rashi says, bottom Rashi.
Is it Rashi here? Vechilt of pras, Rashi says, Vechsarti lo chatzi, vechetzi biyodi, chayv lishava al hashar. I returned some of it. I've got the remaining part in my hand. So he has to make a shul on that half, says Rashi. It says Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Katan above a tainus aviv lo gara mitainus atzmo dehacha. So a katan who's claiming based on his father is no different than a katan and a person who claims on his own me atzmo. So just like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov would say, there's a shua based on a tainus atzmo, even though really that doesn't make sense. It really should be meishu aveda. So to a person would make a shua based on a katan's taina me aviv. The Gemara now says last few lines of the page here. The Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov lesle meishu aveda pater. He doesn't hold of that taina. He doesn't hold of a person return something that he's pater. He would have to take a shvu in every single case of meishu aveda. Amarav bishetanu katan. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says bishetanu katan. Rashi says yasom katan toveya. So what's the answer here? I think he's re-understanding the whole Gemara now. So the answer is that in a situation where the Yasam Katan, where an orphan who is a minor who makes a taina, and he says, I know, Toen Shiodea Bevadal Shayachaivlav, if he says he knows for sure his father, the guy's chayv to his father, and therefore it's not considered a Meshu Avedu. Since the Katan claims he knows for sure, that's not called Meshu Avedu. Meaning, in general, when a guy is Toen from himself, I'm admitting I owe you money, you had no idea. I'm saying, listen, your father had money. Here's, I'm returning it back to you. That's Meshu Aveda and Pater. But here, where the Katan's claiming on the behalf that I know for sure you have money of my father, there's a Taina. That's not Meshu Aveda. The Katan says you owe money from my father already. That's not considered a situation of Meshu Aveda. So then the Gemara says, V'amers ein nishban al tainas chay v'shot of a Katan. But wait a second, we just said before, if the Katan makes the Taina, so a Taina of a Katan cannot result in a Shua. So what's going on here? And so the Gemara finally answers, Li'olam Gadol. Really, you're talking about a person who's above the age of 13. And a tainus Gadol can result in a Shavuah. But my Karle Katan, why are we calling him a Katan? Because Dilagabe Mile Diavua Katan, who with respect to his father, he's a minor, meaning he doesn't really know what went on in his father's house. So he's called the Katan with regards to business matters of his father. So then the Gemara says, Ihachi tainus Atzmo, tainus Acherim Hi. That's not a case of a tainus atzmo. That's a situation of tainus acherim where someone else, a gadol, is claiming that you owe me money. That's tainus acherim, not tainus atzmo. So the Gemara says, tainus acherim vodas atzmo. It's a case where the guy was towing, he owed me money, and then the person admitted from himself, hodas atzmo. That's what it really means. When we say in the Braisa, tainus atzmo, it really means tainus acherim hodas atzmo. Well, that doesn't make any sense either, the Gemara says, because every single case, kulanami tainas acherim, vodas atmaninu. That's every case where one guy claims, the other guy admits. That's a classic case of modem mixas. That's not called a tainas atzmo. So there's a lot of confusion going on here. And so the Gemara finally says, Ella bidiraba kimifagi. They're really arguing about the shita of a rabba. Let's figure out what's going on here. Meaning the machlokas between Rabbi Yezim and Yaakov and Chachamim was about this case. Dama rabba. Mipnei ma amar Torah modem mixas haitaina yishbach. Why would a person admit that he, the guy claims 100? I said, yeah, I owe you 50. Why do you make the guy take a shvua? So the Gemara explains the svara. Chazaka ein adam meis panav b'fnei baal chavo. The guy lent you money. You're not going to be so brazen and say, you didn't lend me any money. The guy's uncomfortable denying everything. V'hai b'kula bar de l'kapre. He really wants to deny everything. I owe you nothing. But hai de lo kafre, the reason why he can't deny everything, mishum de eno meis panav b'fnei baal chavo. The guy can't look the guys in the face and say, yeah, you lent me nothing. So yeah, you lent me something, but he's comfortable changing the amount. That he's comfortable with. He's just not comfortable lying entirely. Ubechula, or it's a case bechula bar dilo delay. He really wanted to admit he owes the full 100, but behai dilo odilay. The reason why he didn't admit to the full amount is shamute hu dekamishami. He's trying to buy himself some time, avoid him a little bit. Minay and savar ad havi lizuzah parinilay. I'll just waste some time a little bit, go back and forth. He'll look for the documents, prove that I owe him really 100, and in that time I'll be able to collect enough funds to pay him back. So the Gemara says, Rachmana Amr, the Torah tells us, Rami Shvua Ilave, Kech de Lodile Bekula. We make him make a Shvua so that he admits everything, to deter him. We don't really want him to make a Shvua. We're hoping that the Shvua is going to get him to say, okay, fine, I owe you the full amount. Because if the guy says, I owe you nothing, that's Nemanus. Because if the guy really owes him something, he would never lie to the guy in the face. So the fact that he admits something tells us he's telling the truth a little bit. Now, the fact that the numbers are off, he says 100, I say 50, something's a little fishy here, so we make the guy make a shvua to really prove to us whether he owes 50 or he really owes the full amount of 100. So that's the basic understanding of a general shvua modem mixas. Now, bring it back to our case, the Gemara says, when a son asks on behalf of the father now. So what's going on here? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Savar lo shnabo, lo shabivno, doesn't make a difference whether the father, let's say the father was the bank, he was the malveh. If he asks him the money back, the guy's not going to lie to the father. And if the son asks on behalf of his father, give me the money that you owe my father, the guy's not going to lie to the father or to the son. Eino meis, the guy's not so brazen. He'll never lie. Now the fact that he admits a little bit indicates that he might be telling, then he might be lying a little bit. Hokach la meishu avedi, that's not considered returning back the aveda. But Rabbanan Savri, a guy would be willing to lie to the son of the bank. You didn't owe me any money. You didn't do any tova for me. I'm willing to deny everything entirely. So once he admits part of it, we consider that Meshe Veda as if, oh, he's doing a nice thing by admitting he owes something, because he really could have just denied everything to the son. Umidilo meiz, for the fact that he wasn't so brazen and he was willing to admit to some of the money that's owed, meishvavedu, that's considered returning lost objects because he could have otherwise lied and been off the hook. So the Gemara says, fine. Mim, so now we establish all that. That's the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and Chachamim when it comes to the son. Now the Gemara wants to know, mimatis mokmis leik Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Now we're going back to our sugya. We wanted to say when the Mishnah said Nishban al Katan, that was according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who says that the Katan is Toinus Atzmo, where the Katan himself makes the Taino, Tainus Aviv, we would make him take a Shvua. So can you really say the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? Hakatani Reisha, the Reisha says, Mana la'aba biyadcha, you have some of my father's money in your hand, Ein lecha biyadi el chamishim dinar, pater mipneshim eshe veda. If the guy says to him, you have $100 of my father's money in your hand, give me back. The guy says, I only have 50, here's the $50. So the lach is, you don't have to take a shua, that's Meshav Aveda. But doesn't Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov say, you're chayv in the case, even though there's a son being involved, not the father, even on the level of the son, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov thinks he would have to take a shua. But the Reisha says, you're patin a shua. So it can't be Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And the Gemara says, no, hasam de lo amar baridli. It depends how certain the taina is. When the son comes on behalf of his father, when he makes a taina, if he says, I know for sure your father owes you owe money to my father, so then that would result in a shua modem mixas, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. But if he only comes, Shema, I think you owe money to me, to my father, since it's only a Shema, so then he doesn't really have to admit anything. And anything he does admit is considered meishuv aveda. In that case, even Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov will agree there would not be a shvua. That's all first pshat in the Gemara to understand this, the stira of whether or not you make a shvua based on a tainus katan or not. Comes along now Shmuel Amar. Shmuel says, Lekatan lipara minichse katan, lehekdesh lipara minichse hekdesh. What it's talking about to the katan is when you're collecting from the katan. Not that the katan's collecting from you, but you're trying to take money from the katan. And or you're trying to take money from hekdesh, you need to take a shvua before collecting from them. So the Gemara explains as follows. Lipara minichse katan tanina. To collect from the property of a katan, we already have a mishnah that tells me this, that minichse yisomim, if a person's collecting property from a yasom, lo yifre ela b'shvua, you could only collect if you make a shvua. So why repeat the same mishnah here in Maseches Shvuos? We already have a mishnah, I think it's in Maseches Gittin, that teaches that same halacha. So the Gemara says, tarti lamali, what's the need for two same exact mishnayos? So the Gemara tells me, Hak mashmalan kidabai kashisha, the tanya by kashisha, yisomim sha'amru gedolim, veintach lamar ktanim. When you come to collect from yisomim, even if they're gedolim, you have to take a shua. And also, needless to say, even ketanim, if you're going to collect property from ketanim that's owed to you, you have to take a shua. Bein le shua, bein le ziboris, whether or not you need a shua, whether or not you need to collect only from ziboris, the least of the quality grade land, that's the same halacha, bein gedolim, bein ketanim. So the reason why I need two mishnahs, one to teach me that yisomim gedolim have the halacha, and one to tell me yisomim ketanim have the same exact halacha, that again, you need to take a shua prior to collecting from them. And then the Gemara says, what about hektesh? Hektesh, the par minich, say hektesh, you need to take a shua before collecting from hektesh? Tanina, we have the Mishnah that tells us, minichasim mishubadim lo yifru ela b'shua. When you're collecting mishubadim, when it comes to collecting hektesh, you only can collect from hektesh if you take a shua first. So again, the same question, why teach me the same thing? Mali mishubadim lehedim, mali mishubadim legavoa. Who cares whether you're collecting property that has a lien from hedyo or has a lien from hektesh? You always have to take a shua first. So we already have that halacha. The Mishnah tells us in Maseches Ksubas, why teach us this halacha here again? So the Gemara says, Itzrich sakdai techamina. You would have thought, Hediot hu da'adam osa kununya al hediot. Kununya is when they do some type of trickery. They have some deal, the ma'avaloa play games. So you never knew what kind of games they're playing. So if there's a property that has a lien, so right, I have a land. And this Reuven has a lien in my land, so he's going to now take the land from me and collect from it to take it away from that lien. And we have some arrangement going on here. So since we don't trust people, we make him take a shvua if you're ever collecting any property if there's a lien on it. Aval hektesh, dein adam osa kununya al hektesh. Who's going to play games with hektesh? No one does that type of thing of taking someone else's property if the hektesh has a lien on it. Who would ever do that? So maybe we should really trust the guy and not make him take a shua. Kamash malan, even in the world of hektesh, people play these games of kununyas and try to make these arrangements in order to undermine hektesh as well. Gemara says, Vahama Rav Huna, doesn't Rav Huna say, Shchimira shehektish kol nechasiv, a person who is deathly ill, is makdish all his property. And then says, Amar, Mane leploni biyodi neman. And then he says, but so-and-so, I owe that guy $100. But didn't he just say that he made everything of his property hektish now? How can he now say afterwards, making it hektish, now everything has a sheep with the hektish? He can't now say, well, $100 is going to so-and-so. Isn't that taking money from hektish away? So the Gemara says, Chazaka ein adam osa kununya hektish. There's no concern. So how come the Gemara here is choshesh that people might make kununyas, make these arrangements when it comes to hektish? But we have a clear statement of Rav Huna that people don't do this kununyas on hektish. They don't play games, and it must be he's telling the truth. He would never take money away from hektish. So the Gemara says there's a distinction. Amri hani mi l'shchimira dein adam chotev v'lo lo aval gavi bari vade chashinim. When it comes to a guy who's deathly ill, why is he going to try to take away from hektesh? There's no gain from him. He's about to die. So he must be telling the truth. There's no reason for him to play any kununyas on hektesh. When it comes to a person who's very, very healthy, who there's what to gain by him trying to get rid of hektesh and having that guy paid off, and there's some arrangement that's going to work to his benefit, then there certainly is a chashash of kununyas, even in the world of hektesh. Okay, the Gemara now says, the new Mishnah. These are the following things that you don't make a shvua on. Havadim, vasharos, hakarkaos, vaktashos. These are four categories that you don't make a shvua. If a person claims a hektesh or any avadim, shtar, or property, we don't make a shvua on them. The Gemara is going to bring the raya for this. Ein behem tashlumei kefa v'lo tashlumei arbar v'chamisha. These are also items where if a person steals them, you don't pay double, nor do you pay dalad v'hei. Look at Tosas just for a second, the second line down, the second Tosas, ella v'ein rather, ein behem tashlumei kefa. So, dafilu b'karka shaycha gneva. Where is there even a havamina to steal land? You can't take land away. So why is there even a havamina to think that you should pay kefel on land, that there's gneva by land? So Tosfos answers that kigon masik vul. If you move over your borders, where your property line is, that's considered gneva. So there's a havamina, maybe you have to be paid double for doing that. Inami begufanim taunos v'hala toin tainis ganav. Or a situation where you have vines that are very full with grapes and very heavy, that they're ready to be picked off the grapes, so they're part of the ground, but you could still steal from them, that would be considered geneva on karka, where you might think you should be pay kefel. The Mishnah tells us there is no kefel on karka. Mishnah continues to tell us now, Shomer Chinam Eina Nishba. A Shomer Chinam does not take a Shavua. Which situation? Rashi tells us. By Shomer Chinam that claims that it was a Nignav, O Avad, Gnev Raveda, he's Pater, he doesn't need to take a Shavua, he's believed, as opposed to a Nose Schar. The person who is going to, who gets paid to watch something, he does not pay on if it gets lost or stolen. The Gemara is going to go through all these halachas. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kodshim Shechai Bachriyuson Nishban Aleim, Vishena Chai Bachriyuson Eina Nishban Aleim. The person's watching a carbon. Rashi explained to look at Rashi, see Kodshim Shechai Bachriyuson. The guy says, I have a responsibility to bring a carbon ola. V'hifrish behema, he set aside an animal as the ola, l'nidarof, to fulfill his neder. V'fkidu l'zeh, he asked Ruvain to watch the carbon for him. Nishba le'o oso shepikadim biyado, dire'eu krinan be'. Now, if the guy loses the object, loses the animal, he has to pay, he has to make a shvuah that he wasn't negligent. The davar agor l'mamon, l'rebi shimon k'mamon dami. Because now, since you lost my animal, I have an outstanding obligation to bring another carbon now. So you cost me another $500 to buy another sheep. So since you caused me a loss, then you would have to take a shua. But if it's an animal that doesn't have an achrayos, a certain animal that, a nedava. Neder is the chivs on the gavra. A nedava is, I say, that this animal is going to be a carbon. You watch it, and you lose it, you don't have to pay, because I don't have to pay back. If I lose a nedava, I don't have a responsibility. Nedava is dafka, this chepta. This chepta is lost, I may absolve my obligations. So in that case, the shomer would be pater, and would not have to take a shvuah. The Mishnah then says, Rabbi Meir Omer, yesh dvarim shem bekarka, ve'enem kekarka. There's certain items that are like karka, but not really like karka. Vein chacham modim lo, chacham don't agree to him. Keta, what's the example? Asar gefanim taunos masarti lecha. The guy says, I gave you 10 full vines of grapes. V'hala omer einon elachamesh. You only gave me 5 of them. That sounds like a case of modim amiksas. So Rabbi Meir b'chayv shua. That's modim amiksas case, because these things are grapes you're talking about. Chacham omer ima hakol mechuba lekarka, harei hein kekarka. Since the gefanim are attached to the ground, they're considered like the ground itself, and we know there is no shvuas on a karka. And then the Mishnah says, "Ein nishban el al davar shebemidav shemishkal shebeminyan." You only make a shvuah on something that has a certain count to it. Either there's a measurement, there's a weight to it, or there's a count. So ketad base male masarti lecha v'kis male masarti lecha. I gave you a house full of something. I gave you a pocket full of something. V'hala omer ena yodel amashanachta ata notel pater. But I only know what you left for me, and he's pater from a shvuah. Because there's no measurement. You just said something full. There's no quantity there. There has to be a midah, a mishkal, or a minyan to be able to be modim amiksas. $100 versus $50. To say something full or half full, that's not considered a midah. But if the guy says, Zeh omer ad haziz, v'zeh omer ad hachalon chai. If I say I gave you a house full up to the window, you said up until the porch, so then that's already something to deal with, some level of midah. In that case, it would be modim amiksas and chayiv a shvuah. Let's finish the Gemara quickly here. The Gemara says, Tashlume Kefil Minol. How do you know the lachas of these four items are pater from Kefil? That was Avadim, Sharos, Karkos, and Hektatios. How do we know there's no Kefil? So the Gemara quotes a Brisa, the Tanur Rabbanan, Akol Davar Pesha. This is in the context of Kefil. Akol Davar Pesha, any type of negligence, klal, that's a general rule. Al Shor, Val Chamer, Val Sev, Al Salma. Those are specific examples. And then it says Al Kol Aveda. That's a Chazav Akal. That's a final general statement. We have the concept of Klal Uprat Uklal. Whenever there's this concept, we only have to learn like the similar examples given. We could expand it to other like examples. Ma prat, just like the prat, the examples given are mufurash davar hamatalta of a gufa mammon, things that are movable and they themselves are worth money. Af kol davar hamatalta of a gufa mammon. So to other examples that are movable and have value. Yatsu karkal shein metalton. Karka, of course, cannot be moved. Yatsu avadim shehuk shel karkal. So the hekesh of eved is hukish lekarka. So to avadim are excluded from kefil. And yatsu shtaros shafapi shein metalton. Even though documents can be moved, but ain gufa mammon, there is no value to the paper. It's worth a couple cents, if even. And then hektesh, because gzeres hakasav, it says re'eu ksiv. Dafka re'eu, dafka the property of a friend, as opposed to the property of hektesh. And finally, last two lines here. Lo tashlumei arba v'chamisha, my time and why are they exempt from it? Tashlumei arba v'chamisha, merachman of lo tashlumei shloshev arba. Once you can't pay kefil, these things are part of kefil, memela you can't pay dal v'hei. Because that would mean you have to pay three or four. We don't have a concept of paying three or four. We have a concept of double or four or five, not anything in between. So therefore, it's part from dal v'hei as well. Okay, we'll pick up tomorrow.